Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of May 3, week 3 of our study of the Apostle Peter's letters to the church. I'm Dan Nygaard. After identifying himself, the Apostle Peter launches immediately into an explanation, a definition, a description of Christian salvation. Last week, we listed 10 characteristics of Christian salvation according to the Apostle Peter. Number one about salvation is the reality that Jesus shall return. He shall return as King, as rightful Lord, as just Judge. Salvation prepares us to receive Jesus as King, Lord, and Judge. Secondly, those who receive Christian salvation do not conform with their culture. Christians have different goals. Christians have different characteristics. Christians live life differently. Third, the Apostle Peter challenges Christians, those who have received salvation, to live holy lives, to be holy. Holy is not about being better. It's about living above. It's about living on a higher plane than materialism. People who are holy know that there is more to reality than material things. Third, the Apostle Peter challenges Christians to live as exiles. Now, we're going to dig into this more today. Exiles are simply people who do not belong. Christians really do not belong in the material world. They are being made, they are being prepared for the kingdom of heaven. As exiles, Christians are redeemed. They are saved from the empty, futile way of living. You ask people today, as you could ask people over the centuries, what is your goal? What is your future? Materialists have nothing to look forward to. Oh, they hope to live a good long life and to be mostly healthy and to do some exciting and adventurous things, but ultimately, their ultimate hope is oblivion, to die, to return to nothingness. They live a futile, empty way of life. Christians, according to the Apostle Peter, have been redeemed from that. And number six, they have been redeemed at a great cost by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My salvation, your salvation, is not cheap. The seventh reality of Christian salvation, according to the Apostle Peter, is that we are purified by obedience. Last week, we recalled the story of how Peter three times denied Jesus Christ on the night of his trial, of Jesus' trial. Days later, after Jesus' resurrection, walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus three times challenged Peter, "Do you love me?" And three times he gave Peter the task, "Take care of my sheep, feed my lambs." It was through Peter's obedience that he experienced purification. Now, this is not to say that Peter's purification, Peter's righteousness was based upon what he did, but it was based upon his obedience. What if Jesus had said to Peter, "Feed my sheep, take care of my lambs," and Peter said, "No, I don't, nah, it's too much trouble, too dangerous." What if Peter had refused to obey Jesus? Hardly seems possible. And from Peter's perspective of salvation, it is impossible. Those who are redeemed, those who are saved, cannot help but obey the commands of Jesus Christ. The eighth characteristics of salvation, according to the Apostle Peter, is that those who are saved, those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, love one another deeply. The ninth characteristic of salvation, according to the Apostle Peter, is that those who are saved, those who are redeemed, have been born again. This reflects John chapter 3, when Jesus, in dialogue with Nicodemus, challenged that religious teacher, that Jewish teacher, "You must be born again. You must be born from above." Peter echoes Jesus' claim. The tenth and final characteristic of salvation identified by the Apostle Peter is that Christians are now imperishable beings by the work and power and mercy of Jesus Christ. We continue our study of the Apostle Peter's letter in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verses 4 through 12. Peter writes, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, our prayer is that Jesus alone be exalted. Amen. So after listing 10 characteristics of salvation, the Apostle Peter goes on to identify what exiles do, how they act. He gives an identity, a common identity to Christian exiles. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Peter identifies the ecclesia, the gathering of followers of Jesus Christ, as living stones. Note, Peter does not use the singular. He's talking to the community. Like living stones, you are being built into a spiritual house, rock solid because of the mercy of Jesus Christ and the confession of his followers, the repentance of his followers, rock solid, but living. The Holy Spirit is at work in the church, maturing Christians and molding them into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are, as the church, active beings. We are not passive. We don't sit around waiting for God to do something. If we don't know what to do, we actively wait. We pray. We read God's word. We meditate. We anticipate God the Holy Spirit directing us and using us, because we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. We are gathered together. The church exists for kingdom purposes. It is a non-material entity pursuing a non-earthly goal. If you will, ecclesias, local churches, are colonies of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that shall come to earth. We are living stones being built into a spiritual house. The Apostle Peter also identifies Christians as a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices via Jesus Christ. Priesthood is a concept that is difficult for us in the 21st century. If you go back, priesthood in antiquity referenced an association of people who were regarded as having privileged contact with a deity. Peter writes that we are a holy priesthood. We have, because of Jesus Christ and the presence of God the Holy Spirit in us and among us, we have privileged access to the God of the Bible. The Merriam-Webster dictionary says a priest is a mediator between humans and God. By identifying followers of Jesus Christ as a priesthood, he points out that we have privileged access to God and we have a mediation task to accomplish. The third activity of Christian exiles, according to the Apostle Peter, is to live as chosen people. Peter writes, "Once you were not a people." We are chosen by God. We are elevated by God. We are set apart by God. We are transformed by God. The fourth activity of Christian exiles, according to the Apostle Peter, is that we are a royal priesthood. He said we are priests and a priesthood, but now he points out that we are royal. We are persons with royal blood flowing through us. We have a royal connection with Jesus Christ himself through the cross of Christ and the miraculous implementation of that cross upon the believer. Peter explains that we are a royal priesthood because we have received God's mercy. Today, we live in a culture of pride. People who are proud of their ethnic origins or their sexual orientation or whatever it is. We live in a culture that champions pride. Christians are exiles who champion having received mercy, undeserved merit, who celebrate not what we are or what we are doing, but celebrate that we have repented and sought divine forgiveness. That is what makes us a royal priesthood. Peter goes on to say we are a holy nation. Holy, set above. Yeah, it is about being better, or at least striving to be better, but it's more about living differently, living above, living on a higher plane. A holy nation. The Greek word here for nation is ethnos. It's not about a state, it's about an ethnic. Ethnos defines a people group. Followers of Jesus Christ are an ethnos, a holy ethnos. We're not living according to the goals and priorities of our culture. We are living according and in pursuit of the goals and the priorities of the kingdom of heaven. Peter then writes that followers of Jesus Christ are God's special possession who declare the praises of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Now, the word or the phrase here, God's special possession, comes from the Greek leos eis peripoinsin. Laos ice is simple. It just means people, and then ice means four. But peripoinsin is a very complex Greek concept. Peripoinsin means laying up or keeping, acquiring, obtaining, acquisition, saving, preserving. But it also means specialty, and my favorite, peculiar possession. I believe it's the King James Version. That's the version of the Bible translated in the 1600s. The King James Version that chose peculiar people or peculiar possession. I love that identity. Now, a lot of Christians are uncomfortable with being peculiar. I am not. It's not that I want to be odd or strange or off-putting. Unfortunately, I often am. But I want to be peculiar in the sense that people watch me and say, I don't know what this guy has, but whatever it is, I would like some of it. That is the Apostle Peter's claims for followers of Jesus Christ. The world looks at that community and says, you know, I don't know what it is about them. They're kind of strange, but they're strangely attractive. I want some of that. And finally, Peter makes a seventh identification of what exiles do. They live as foreigners. They live as exiles. They live differently, uniquely. They live lovingly. They live with charity and grace and compassion and sacrifice. These are the seven activities, the seven characteristics that the Apostle Peter claims for Christians who are exiles in this material world. Now, Peter uses a phrase here that we need to unpack just a little bit. And the phrase that he uses, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, he's talking about Jesus, a stone, that is Jesus, a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Destined for disobedience. Christians who are attracted to the concept of God has predestined some for salvation and some for damnation, they look at a verse like this and they say, see, it's what they were destined for. They were destined for disobedience. And this is a pretty strong scripture in support of predestination. However, do you remember the second Star Wars movie, The Empire Strikes Back? In that second movie, at the climactic conclusion of the movie, Darth Vader proclaims to Luke Skywalker that it is his destiny to go to the dark side. Yet Luke Skywalker rejects that destiny. The Apostle Peter writes that they stumble because they disobey. Allow me to suggest that their destiny arises not from any predetermined path, but their destiny arises out of their own disobedience. Here's the challenge from the Apostle Peter to the church of the first century, the church of the 21st century. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Live good lives. Do good deeds. Be compassionate people. Live sacrificially. Offer charity to all. Indeed, we should be on the lookout for those who are left out of our culture. And once we identify them, we should embrace them with charity and care and compassion. Christian exiles live such good lives among the pagans that although they accuse us of being racist or homophobic or whatever it is, they see our good deeds. Here is a hope the Apostle Peter gives to the church of the first century, the church of the 21st century. Live as free people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Live as free people. Peter gives quite a challenge to the first century church if, as Bible scholars believe, the vast majority of Christians in the church at Rome and throughout the world, the vast majority of them were either slaves or in some kind of servanthood profession. Peter challenges Christians, regardless of your situation, live as free people. That's what it means to live a holy life, to live above this world. Yeah, you might be a slave, but live as a free person, empowered, set free by Jesus Christ. Live even in whatever corrupted situation you find yourself as a free person, as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Do not allow this world to press you into its form. Do not allow this world to define you or to degrade you. Peter challenged the first century Christians, and he challenges us. Live as free people. Yet, do not abuse your freedom. He tells us to be respectful of all people. Peter challenges us to love the church. Love the ecclesia. Love our sisters and brothers in Christ. Peter challenges us to fear God. God is not your buddy. He is your heavenly Father who has made salvation and relationship available to you. But Peter challenges us to show respectful fear to God. And finally, Peter says, honor the government. Now, this was at a time when the government, the Roman Empire, had first begun to persecute Christians. And Peter's goal was to say, hey, let's not respond to the persecution. Let us respond as citizens of heaven. Let us respond as free people. Because by living as free people, in spite of how we're being treated, they will see our good deeds and glorify our God. Peter challenges us to live as free people. Peter warns us not to abuse our freedom. Peter assures us that we are destined for the kingdom of heaven.